A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is also a very auspicious day, Mother's Day. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all mothers a happy and blessed Mother's Day. And today is Sunday, 9 May 2021. And we will be continuing from that book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. I think it's part two. Okay, we are at page 31. Page 31. Just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Okay, we'll go back to page 31. Reporting of Meditation, section 4.1. So this is a continuation from last Sunday. Okay, with that, I will move on to the second section on meditation reporting. You can report your meditation, your experience, and ask any question regarding the meditation and the teaching. Whatever aspect of the Buddha Dharma which you don't quite understand, you can also ask. And the latest and most important one is you can also ask any question that is related to life. That is, how to apply what you have learned here and the Buddha Dharma to help you to solve all your life situations and problems. I think this is most important, solving life's problem. If you can solve life problem, means you can free your mind, means you have the Dhamma. If you don't have the Dhamma, when you are confronted with the First Noble Truth Reality, almost everybody who don't have the Dhamma and the understanding, they can't cope. Suffering will be the result. Fear, panic, anxiety, insecurity, negativity of mind state will arise. And this is mental suffering. So the Buddha Dharma's main intent is to allow us to develop wisdom. With this wisdom, we can understand life. Then we can come to terms with life reality and resolve all life situation and problem. So this part, I think, is very important. So I did say, do make use of this condition and opportunity to ask whatever question that you may want to develop the answer or the understanding. Before I go into the question and answer session, is there anyone who might want to report your meditation? This will be very useful, so don't be shy. Anybody who wants to report your meditation? Oh, they say no. What about you? Are you new? You came here before, isn't it? Oh, first time. How do you feel? Then the answer is okay, good. I think he's having a problem that time. He's having some nose block, I think. You can clear your nose first, don't worry. I think you have got a slight flu. It's okay. It's a good sign, because when you have this type of sickness and flu, and you are still able to determine to make it to this meditation, it means you have the resolve in you. Hence, you will learn faster. According to Lord Buddha, when you go through suffering, that is the best condition to understand his teaching. Because he told the monk what he teaches is very simple. Only two things. Suffering and the way out of suffering. So you have to confront the reality. Means go through suffering. Then develop the wisdom to overcome it. That's how you liberate your mind. And have the ability to actually come out of suffering. If you don't have suffering, It is not so easy to understand his teaching. But when suffering arises, it is easier, because the Buddha said under the first turning of the First Noble Truth, there are these eight realities within the First Noble Truth that can condition one into misery or suffering if one lacks wisdom when confronting them. These eight conditions are birth, old age, sickness, and death. For your case, here is sickness or disease. Then there is this separation from loved ones or one's possession. When you are with people whom you don't like, and when you cannot get what you want, then the final summary, which is meditative. The Buddha said under the final summary, in short, when you deludedly grasp and cling onto these five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that this is what you are, what the human being is all about, then suffering will be the result. This First Noble Truth life reality, which he had proclaimed under the first turning, you will have to develop the understanding of it through the second turning inquiry, which is this First Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. Now you look at this chart on the whiteboard. The first turning wisdom is called Suttamaya Panya. Panya is wisdom and suttas is the discourse of the Buddha. Hence, Suttamaya Panya is wisdom born of hearing the suttas or discourse that the Buddha had proclaimed. When you have this ability to understand what he say under the first turning proclamation, it means you have higher wisdom and you can awaken via Suttamaya Panya. Means through hearing alone, you don't have to meditate. But if you find it not so easy, then you have to go for the second turning wisdom. Second turning wisdom is Chintamaya Panya, which is wisdom born of constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth that the Buddha had proclaimed. When it comes to suffering, the Buddha said under the second turning of the First Noble Truth, this First Noble Truth of Dukkha or suffering is to be understood. So what is the inquiry? The inquiry is, how can you understand or develop the wisdom out of it? This kind of second turning wisdom, which is Chintamaya Panya, can only arise via constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into what the Buddha had proclaimed. That is, this noble truth of dukkha or suffering is to be understood. So how do you inquire? How do you reflect? How do you contemplate? How do you start the contemplative training to develop your wisdom? Anybody wants to give it a try? Very good. You start by inquiring. Why did the Buddha say that? And why must I understand what suffering is? If you don't know what is suffering, then what is going to happen to you? You will suffer without knowing what suffering is. So how can you meditate and understand his teaching when you don't even know what suffering is? After you have reflected and contemplated on them, you will come to realize that if I don't understand what suffering is, I can never develop the understanding and ability to be free from suffering. Hence, that's the reason why this noble truth is very important. So what must we do? After you have inquired why, you must go more deeply into it. I will have to develop this further inquiry of what is suffering. I will have to go back to the first turning proclamation, then ask, why did the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness, and death are suffering? Is there really any suffering when I experience all this? Or when I witness and confront all these realities? This is how you develop the understanding of this noble truth, They are your direct reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into it through real life experience. The mother will know why birth is suffering. Maybe the man may not know so much because man doesn't carry baby for 9 to 10 months. The birth process comes with a lot of suffering when you understand. When things don't go your way, when the baby is not what you expect, and certain complications happen during birth, all this can be very traumatic. Because suffering is very real when the mother goes through the conceiving stage, followed by the pregnancy stage. They will experience the morning sickness and all those side effects related to pregnancy. How they have to sacrifice, how their movement are restricted, how they have to exercise restraint and endure a lot of things that they want to do or eat, but they cannot. Then as they go through the pregnancy process, they still need to do the housework or do the work, and at the same time, carrying the baby in the womb. All this you need to go through the inquiry to understand. The gynecologists, they understand better because they study that field. There you have what they call old age, getting old, getting sick and death. Maybe when you are still young, you cannot experience what old age is like. But you can see how your parents and grandparents get old. Then your great-great-grandparents, your neighbor's grandparents, and all those old people with all their problems while confronting old age sickness and pending death. As you grow old, you start to develop a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, and your senses starts to fail you. Then your thoughts starts to haunt you. You start to develop this unhappiness in you. We are thinking, now that I am so old, so useless, people will look down upon me. My children also will look down upon me because you are no longer like before. The suffering that comes with old age can be very traumatic and miserable too. Especially so when you are financially dependent on people for your daily subsistence or sustenance. Especially your 3 meals, there is food and shelter. When you grow old, you tend to have a lot of sickness and disease too. So your medical bill will go up. You also fear those diseases like dementia, etc. This can be very real and rather traumatic. That death is a certainty and can be very tragic too. If you don't have wisdom, most of you will suffer. Where most people cannot accept the reality of death, especially so if they are your loved ones. They are somebody very dear and important and close to you. Separation can happen in many ways. For example, separation during nature's disaster, like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc. Nowadays, car accident, train accident, plane accident, and even snatch thief and kidnapping can also be a big issue, creating a lot of misery too. You can witness all this when you read the newspaper or the social media nowadays. As you go through life, you start to experience and understand how when there is separation from things that you own or hold on to dearly, like your business, your wealth, your property, your money, your possession, your loved ones, etc., suffering can arise. Then later on, you will also encounter relationship problems, which can also lead to separation like divorce and relationship failure. Even those not married, they are not exempted For they also can be jilted. Nobody divorces you, but you get jilted. Then the very common word is, you are dumb, like a coconut, dumb. They just dumb you. Many of these relationship failure have led to very traumatic experiences. They cried, and there's a lot of sorrow, lamentation, bitterness, and fear, leading to all the hatred, the anger, the jealousy, and all those sorrowful things. When you are with people whom you don't like, suffering can also arise. As you go through this reflection and contemplation, you start to understand this noble truth better, because these are the very realities of life and existence that the Buddha had proclaimed. Without wisdom, when you confront them, you will suffer. And these are life reality that you cannot avoid, and is common to all of humanity, each and every one of us. As long as we live long enough, we have to confront them. There is no exception. So as long as you live long enough, sooner or later, you have to confront them. When you are with people whom you don't like, you will experience a lot of this suffering too. Especially so when you are still working, and when your bosses are not so friendly, and you are under tremendous pressure to deliver. Certain bosses, they have very funny way of managing their staff. They go by this practice, management by fear and harassment. They harass you to deliver, and they put fear into you because they know you need the job and the salary. A lot of people are forced to commit suicide because of financial problem, which is also quite common. Also, when your business cash flow is stuck, and when you cannot find the cash flow for your business to pull through, you can be under tremendous pressure and stress. Then when the banker starts to terminate your loan facility, and when your creditors starts to come after you, all this can be very traumatic. These are real life situations that can lead to a lot of suffering, a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and stress, leading to health problems that can make you worse. Then when you are in this state, you can become very moody. And when you come back to your home, your relationship with your loved one will also suffer. Because when you suffer, they also suffer. They also worry for you. All these are a chain reaction. And this first noble truth realities, suffering are so real. The Buddha asks, you have understood this truth, what must you do? You must not wait until it's too late. Hence, you better make haste to cultivate and develop this type of wisdom and understanding born of his teaching, to understand what is going on before confronting them. Then when the first noble truth reality, which is suffering, has already been understood, you don't have to suffer anymore. That's why the third turning is the enlightenment path with wisdom. Bhavana maya panya. Panya is wisdom, bhavana is the meditative training. So wisdom born of the meditative training or meditation is the third turning wisdom called bhavana maya panya. And once you have that, your mind liberates and free. When you contemplate and reflect onto the second noble truth, which explains to you very clearly how suffering and its cause arises, your understanding will arise. Because according to the Buddha, he said, there is a cause behind all suffering. Under this second noble truth. And the cause is always craving, born of self-delusion. When you understand this second noble truth, you will know how to manage your life better, isn't it? That's why his teaching is very unique and very powerful. This second noble truth can explain to you clearly why the first noble truth reality can cause you suffering. The Buddha explained, it is craving born of sakkayaditti or self-delusion. That is the cause. That is, you don't understand who you are, what you are. You don't know what this human being is all about. You don't know what this form of mind is all about. Hence, you deludedly grasp and cling onto it, thinking that it's real, it's you. That this human being is you. That delusion, that sakkayaditti, which is self-delusion, is very powerful, isn't it? The final summary of the first noble truth according to the Buddha is, when you deludedly grasp and cling onto these five aggregates of form and mind, suffering will be the result. You don't have to believe him. You can put it to test and you can investigate into it. When you reflect and contemplate into it, you will come to realize that everything he said is so true. Let's take, for example, the first four realities of life and existence that the Buddha proclaimed as suffering under the first noble truth of dukkha. He said, birth, old age, sickness, and death are suffering. When you confront them without understanding, how does suffering comes to be? When you attach, when you cling, when you have craving, then we deludedly think that this body is what we are. Then you will worry about your physical body getting old, getting sick, and one day die. That's how you suffer, where you attach, believing that this body belongs to you. This form and mind is you. This human being is you. The newborn baby, if you have attachment because you think you are the biological father and mother, which technically in science is a reality. Hence, when you give birth to them, you will think it is your child. And you will develop attachment to that child. And if anything were to happen to that child, for good or for bad, it can affect your mental states and emotion or moods. When things go your way, when you see them so cheerful, so cute and beautiful as they grow up, you will have so much joy and you will love them more. And that will cause you to attach to them more. Then when something unfortunate happens, which is quite common nowadays, a lot of babies got adopted. They just come and take your baby away. Especially when you forgot to off your car engine. Then within split second, people just take the whole thing. Nowadays, even in school or while going to school, the kids are not safe. Then when you leave your baby to the nanny or those who help you to look after your baby, which is quite common in our modern day society, because both the husband and wife are working, career people. If you don't have a good mother-in-law or your own parent who can help you look after your children, a lot of unfortunate things may happen too. That's why you are very blessed. You have these people to help you look after your children for you so that you can have the peace of mind while going to work. Otherwise, you may worry. Alternatively, is for you to hire a maid. But then, you have seen so many of the stories or heard so many of the stories. Even when they install those video cameras at home, is also of not much help or use because it suddenly, when you are on the computer, you saw how the maid abused your child or kid. How will it affect you? You totally has no mood, no more mood to work. And straight away you call your husband. Then you straight away rush home. Whatever you do is already too late. But you don't have a choice because you don't have the time to look after your own child. And you have to entrust it to someone. But as parents, you have a duty to find out, to monitor and make sure that this thing doesn't happen. But there is certain thing that you can't avoid because things like karma is something you cannot really understand unless you have the Dhamma, the wisdom. What you did to people in the past, karmically, it will come back to you when the conditions are there. If you have been a maid before in your previous life and you do all these abusive things to other people's child, and when the time comes, you will become the victim, you will become the parent, and your child will be abused by other maids, just like how you had ill-treated others before. All this, you cannot blame people for what happened. The Buddha said the law of karma is very powerful. You must have the right view. Having this right view can lead to understanding. That is when you know the cause behind your suffering. When you know what suffering is, you will know how to manage your life better so that in future you will not commit any of this wrong action or karmic negativity anymore. At least to a certain extent you can manage it. But if you want to be totally free from it and go beyond, you must develop wisdom. That's why this type of meditation is very useful. And to cultivate this type of meditation, you have to go much deeper than what knowledge can provide you. What I have explained to you is just the knowledge part. But if you put it into cultivation, and you develop the appropriate mindfulness and heedfulness to reflect, contemplate, and go into the first turning, second turning, and third turning cultivation, then their corresponding wisdom will arise. If you diligently cultivate via your heedfulness, the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the full range of meditation as taught by the Buddha, then you can develop the wisdom to be free from all the First Noble Truth realities. Then after that, no matter what happens, there will be no more suffering or problems for you. You will always be peaceful, anywhere, anytime, and at any place. Always full of happiness and joy. And yet, the reality is still the reality. You will know very clearly, despite what happened, no more suffering. And this can be done. It's not a myth or something theoretical. Just like the Buddha, after he had realized the truth, he was full of joy. And he wanted to share this understanding with the world. It has taken him about 3¾ Asankhya Kalpas or world cycle to perfect himself so that he can become the Sammasambuddha. And because of that, he had great wisdom and was able to summarize all of his understanding of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspect of it, into just Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his great teaching. What we are cultivating and developing here is the training of the mind to be heedful, to cultivate this Four Noble Truth understanding. That is, and when you understand the Noble Truth, you can become noble ones, and you can then be completely free from all suffering too. And this is something possible even in this life. This life's present civilization and consciousness are so conducive, and you all are indeed very blessed. Because we have evolved to the stage where our advancement in science and technology, especially in the field of technological innovation and information technology, is so phenomenal that it can help us so much. But all these advancements are like double-edged weapon. If you use it wrongly, then the human consciousness will decay. It will go downhill. A human civilization will fall. But if you use it wisely to enhance our spiritual understanding, to transform the consciousness of this planet, then we will evolve to become beautiful future star beings. All this can be understood. And like the internet technology that can help us share information so fast, now you also has the mini recorder, the CD. That's how the recording are possible and can be done. And you also have pen drive to help you copy the recording. It's also convenient nowadays. 2600 years ago, you may think that the monks and the lay people then who had met the Buddha were all very fortunate. But do you know, during that time, only people there in that region can hear the Buddha speak, because there was no aeroplane to fly there. Even if you have ship, also nobody knows how to steer that far, because at that time, Captain Columbus hasn't realized that the earth was round. He was also not born yet. All these were not available then, and they don't get to meet the Buddha. There was also no recording, no books, and no CD then. Nothing at all. And you had to find your way to meet up with the Buddha. It's not easy during that time. You don't even know where he is. No newspaper to read, no internet to check, no GPS to trace him. And all these are not available at that time. That's why I say, you don't complain by saying during the Buddha's time it's so easy to be enlightened. Well, he was around. And anything you don't know, you can ask him and he can explain to us. But we never look at all these things that they don't have. Actually, now you are much more fortunate. But you must know how to screen and sift through the information available on the internet. There are all sorts of information are available on the internet. You get hold of the wrong one and you are gullible, then you may be following the blind, like the blind leading the blind, and end up somewhere else. But if you are quite intelligent and wise, and you know how to screen and sieve it out, then when you understand, you will be very determined to train yourself. And you will come to understand that the three turnings of the Four Noble Truth cultivation are very important, because they will lead you to the meditation, to the cultivation of the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, and finally, the realization of the Four Noble Truth. All this can happen. Okay, coming back to what we want to discuss, I have finished off this question which I haven't started yet. Oh, sorry, I have to finish off this question which I haven't started yet. I think I have to stop the reporting for the time being and deal with the question now. Okay, so now we go direct to the question and answer section 4.2. This is very interesting. This is a very interesting question. This Kayanamita wrote to Brother Suyan, who has so kindly printed it out. The question is, hey Brother Suyan, this question is quite personal. And my question is, what is the meaning of responsibility? I feel that I work so hard to to contribute to the family, practically in every sense of it. And to me, everyone should be putting it in their contribution as well. Example, helping to do household work, such as cleaning and keeping the place tidy, etc. But I find that everything is all up to me. Though from young, I've been telling my children that they should do their part or share of the work. Of course, not expecting them to do all, but at least contribute. So that everyone is contributing to their own in their own way. She thinks that is fair to expect, but she is not getting that. So that was the comment in the bracket. Huh? The common excuse from children is that, Mom, I am busy. I'm not interested in housework, and that is the problem. I'm actually the busiest person, she said, and I am not interested in feeding lazy people. I hate to post this question as I felt the feedback is as though I'm very calculative or uncaring. And the comment is, no, you are not. People who don't understand, maybe they think you are. But for people who understand, they will say you have sacrificed a lot. And there is a reason why you behave that way. Because you cannot understand their behavior. And that's why you brought them up here. So that was my comment. Huh? Because she lacked Buddha Dharma, she don't understand. So she was trying to seek or find answers. Then she said, I compromise all the way. I cannot give myself a good answer. Why I have to push myself so hard, make all the sacrifices, just to keep the family going, keep the house and the home in order. Anyway, this is just airing my view. Thank you for listening, and best regards. So there are a lot of frustrated mothers, especially housewives. And today, it happened to be Mother's Day. That's why I find this question very interesting. So what if you were to look at it from the Dhamma point of understanding? If we were to have the Buddha Dharma to guide us, how will we solve this problem? Yes, we can solve this problem. And to most people, this is not an easy problem to handle. Because it involves a lot of people. It involves a lot of other issues. So what are we going to develop as understanding based on the teaching that we have learned? If you have reflected and contemplated on it, the answer will slowly manifest, just like what I shared with you earlier on. First turning, listen to the noble truth. Then second turning, reflect, contemplate, inquire. Then third turning, go into it, develop the meditative understanding, and awaken. So if you follow this three turning of the Four Noble Truths, then the answer will be there, the solution will be there. So now I will move on with the sharing so that you all can understand. So my answer is very beautiful. You should listen. This is a very good and relevant question, like most housewives. She felt as if she's the only one working, doing all those household chores, like marketing, cooking, washing, cleaning up the house, etc., and seeing to all the needs of the family, which is a very great responsibility. That's the reason why she uses the word responsibility. Because to her, she believed this is her responsibility as a wife and as a mother. Now to answer this question, the more appropriate word to use is duty. So you have to differentiate between these two words. One is responsibility, the other one is a duty. If it's your duty, then it becomes different. Then the way you understand it and do it also become different. That's why the Buddha in his teaching, he talked about right duty. The enlightened disciple of the Buddha has this quality of dutiful conduct. It's the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. They have this duty, right duty in them. They know what the form and mind is all about. This form and mind, or so-called human being, is not really what we think we are, but it's part of our existence. Yeah, it's karmically conditional for us as a vehicle and a tool to arise within this existential world. So it's related to our karma. And this form and mind, even though not real, not really what we are, but it's subject to karma. And it's connected to our existence because there is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. So this part, you have to understand. Then this form and mind has a duty towards this law of karma, which states, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. And we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. That's why we have to perform our duty. And I had a teacher who is very good, Prachayantra. He always remind me. He said, right duty is right Dhamma. If you know how to perform your duty correctly, means you have the Dhamma. It's not only your duty, like in the school as a student, you have certain duties that the teacher may allocate to you. But in life, we play different roles. And each of all, every day's role, we have a duty. Like when we are born into the world as a child, we have our duty. Duty towards our parents. Duty towards our family. Duty towards the environment and all those things. Then as parents, we have our duty to care for our children, to care for our loved ones, our parents and all those things, and to provide for them when they are young, because we gave them life, we bring them to this world. We have to care for them, protect them, sacrifice for them, raise them, provide them with their education, everything. Whatever that is within your means. So these are your duty. And your duty as an employee, as an employer, each and every of these roles, we have to have our right duty in the right perspective, with the right understanding, so that we will not go against this law of karma. If we don't do our duty, we neglect, we try to cheat, we try to deceive, we try to cut corner, then we try to ignore, then what happens is you reap what you sow. In future, you become the victim. People will do back the same thing to you. Then you neglect your duty as a parent. In future, you will have parents who will neglect you. Same. Because you didn't do your duty. But if you do your duty well, you care for them, you provide for them, you raise them, you did everything that you can as a parent for their well-being and happiness, then in future, you will have parents who will do the same to you. And this is what the nature's law of karma is all about. When you understand this, you understand Dhamma. That's why right duty is right Dhamma. Okay, we go back to the sharing, then maybe you can understand. Now to answer this question, the more appropriate word to use is right duty instead of responsibility. Well, when you say it is a responsibility, it's like people make you responsible for all this. But when it's my duty to do as a mother, what does it mean? It is my duty, so I will do it diligent with understanding. That is my duty. I have a duty as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter-in-law. It's just like those duties that the Buddha spoke about in the Sigalawada Sutta. The Sutta lay out the layman's code of conduct or discipline, and it explained very clearly your role and your right duties towards each and every one that you have relationship with, even between an employee and an employer. And all these duties that he came up with comes from his understanding and great wisdom. Without that great wisdom, he cannot tell us all this. So your duty is in accordance to what? You act because of what? Because you have a duty to do something as a mother, right? That's how you hold on to those duties. And the Buddha, through his great wisdom, understands the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, linking it to all this duty. And this one I have explained, that's why easy for you to understand now. He said, if you perform your duty in accordance with this law of karma, then you will reap the good result or fruition of your good action in the future. That's why I always tell you, right duty is right Dhamma. When you have your duty correct, you have done your duty correctly in accordance with the law of karma, the law that governs life and existence, then you will have right Dhamma, which means you don't do them out of heedlessness, foolishness, or delusion. But a lot of living beings, when they do something, they will say, I already did so much good. But they never question that good. Good according to whom? It's always according to them. So when it is good according to you, it may not be nature's law side of good. Because your definition of good and bad is always based on your biased views and opinions. And because you are unenlightened, and before you are enlightened, your views and opinion are always wrong view because they are mainly selfish views with delusion. Then how can it be right? It must be right according to the nature's law. The Buddha knew this law of karma, hence he can advise you accordingly. Now, coming back to this lady, if she had done her duty as a mother, or as a wife, or as a daughter-in-law, or as a sister, do you know what will happen? If she had done her duty well for her children, for her family, and then she sacrificed for them because they are her loved ones. And there is a lot of joy while performing those duties because you were sacrificed as a mother. You can do that because you believe that they are your loved ones. They are your children. And you really care for them. And also because you have love. When you have true love, there is no anger, no jealousy, no negativity, and no more of all those calculative attitudes. Just like when you love your children, you can go all out to sacrifice for your children, right? That's why we Chinese have this culture. They can work so hard to have all their life savings just to spend them on the children's education. And to them, this is something they would do out of love for their children. But the other way around is usually very difficult. When you expect the child or the children after they have grown up to have the gratitude and understanding to really go back and thank their parents for all the great sacrifice and love they have given them to look after them and care for them, it's very difficult unless the child has the Dhamma. Otherwise, it's very difficult because most of them are selfish. They will tell you, you can call the other brothers or sisters to help you because they are nearer. Or they will tell you, last time you pamper them more, or the other brother used more of your money, or I'm really very busy and I don't have the time, etc. There are always all sorts of reasons and excuses to justify why they cannot come over to look after you. They always say, one parent can raise 10 kids, but 10 children cannot even look after one parent. This is quite true at times. So don't end up like them. It's because they don't understand the Dhamma and they behave selfishly. But when you have the wisdom, you have the understanding born of Dhamma, you won't do that because you know for every action you do, there is a cause and effect and an equal and opposite reaction. That's why the Buddha said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. Hence, if you don't take care of karma, and if you do things that harm people, cause suffering to people, all this will come back to you, to haunt you later on in the future. You will become the victim. If you neglect your children and your parents in future, but when the conditions are there, you will have children and parents that will neglect you too. So what will happen when you do your duty as a mother? Care for your children and care for your loved ones and sacrifice for them. But of course, you do to the best of your ability and not at the expense of your health. According to the law of karma, you reap what you sow. And this blessing will come back to you. Which means in future, you will have good mother who will care for you, who will love you and sacrifice for you and do exactly like what you have done for your children. Our generation was the best. Our mother gave birth to 9 children. So my mother didn't really have time for us. My mother always tell me, from nature the child is born. So nature will care and see to their needs. And my mother has got no time to attend to us all because she is so busy. Yeah. But she's a very loving mother. She sacrificed so much. Yeah. What she told me was based on her own wise experience, which she learned from life. She said she only needs to make sure that we are fed and that she will let us cry and do what we want to do because she really doesn't have the time. And there were 9 of us. She... Oh, the English is not so good, huh? We ain't got time to take care of all of us nowadays. Like today's mom. Giving so much love and care to their only child or kid. They also pamper them at the times, worry so much for them. But today's modern day mom finds it so difficult to even look after 1 or 2 kids. During my mother's time, I just wonder how she delivered and take care of 9 or 10 of us. Must be a fantastic mom, right? My mom, when you listen to her story, I can tell you, maybe you dare not get married because nowadays mom giving rise to 1 or 2 kids is already a great sacrifice or burden by them. So all this understanding will help you, and because of the law of karma, where you have taken care of them, where you have loved and do your duty and sacrifice for them in future when you come, you will have mother to take care of you and sacrifice for you. And you will be like very blessed. You know this is karma. You will never be deluded as to neglect them anymore. For you know if you neglect them in the future when you come, you will be neglected in a similar way. You will have suffering and you will end up in the orphanage because they will dump you there. They will neglect you just the way you neglect your parents and children earlier on. If you as parents neglect your duty, especially the man's side, you drink, you gamble, you cause so much suffering, and you are so heedless. In future, when you come, you will have father that will do that to you, just as how you did to your kids. So the mother that does all those things and wants the easy way out will also suffer. Most of them will do that because they cannot take it anymore. And they just say, it's enough. Enough is enough. Then they just walk out of the family and they just don't want to bother anymore. Then what happens is, in the future, you will find or you will have parents that will walk up on you. So how do you feel? Do you like that? If you take care of karma, karma will take care of you. And every life when you come, if you do your duty well, then every life in future when you come, you will have parents and loved ones who will do their duty well towards you. That's why when you take care of your children's education, take care of their well-being, but don't pamper them. Then in the future, you will have good parents who will care and provide for you too. What are your duties as parents? You guide them, you nurture them when they are young, protect them, care for them, provide them with all the basic necessity or essential, like food, shelter, education, and other necessity in life. Then your other role or duty are to give them proper advice so that they can grow up and become better human beings with the right understanding, so that they will know what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, so that they can be a blessing to all, so that they will have respect and gratitude for elders, for people who really love and care for them. And they will have this charitable heart and generosity to help others. We are relieving their suffering. You can train them in this way, then this is what you will receive as fruition of that karma. In future, your parents, you will have parents that will guide and train you and bring that understanding to you. The more you give, the more you receive. That's what Warren Buffett and Bill Gates always said. They are always so wealthy because even in this life, despite their great wealth, they still donate so much. That's why in future, when they come, they will be very wealthy again. Because the law of karma is such, the more you give, the more you receive. When you give, it's like you give to your own karmic nature. Similarly, when you cause suffering to others, it's like you cause suffering to your own karmic nature, and in future, you reap what you sow. That's why do not harm others. Do not cheat and deceive on others. That's also the reason why the Buddha's advice under the famous Dhammapada verse 183 is the same. Following this law of karma, there is all Buddhas, they give the same advice. They say, Sabba papasa akaranam, kusalesa upasampadan, sacitta pariyodapadan, etang buddhana sasana. Sabbe is all and papasa is evil. So he said, all evil you must avoid. That's why You cannot cause suffering. That's why don't cause suffering. Don't have negativity, otherwise you will suffer. Then whatever wholesomeness, kusalisa, and goodness, kusala karma. Whenever there is condition to do, you must do. Then finally, he said, you have to train your mind. Say chitta, chitta is mind. Purify your mind so that you can have the wisdom to confront life, so that you will not suffer, otherwise your life will be miserable. And these are the advice of all Buddha, etang buddhana sasana. Now you understand how the Buddha's advice come about. It comes from this right view with regards to the law of karma. When you avoid all evil and do good, it means you have the right view to take care of your karma, to do your duty in accordance with that nature's law of karma. Sorry. Okay, if you do your duty in accordance with the nature's law of karma, then you will reap the result and the reward in the future. Your life will be taken care of. Then the good karma will condition your good life, because according to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So do not be heedless. Do not be deluded. Do not think that you are the only one sacrificing and that you are doing all this for all these people whom you say are so lazy. These are all wrong thoughts. And do you know how all this wrong thought can come about? Because of her evil roots of anger, hatred, selfishness, and delusion that condition her unhappiness to arise, the wrong thought. That will keep justifying for her. Like they never respect me. They didn't even say a word of thank you to me. They didn't appreciate what I have done and sacrificed for them. So this is what your thought will tell you. You believe your thought, then you will become miserable. So most mothers, they are very simple. And it's very easy to make them feel otherwise. Once the family member can feel and appreciate what the mom has done for them, they will start to express their gratitude towards the mom and start to say something nice, sincere words to her, like, thank you so much, mom. You have sacrificed so much for us. We really would like to thank you. And you are the greatest mom. If on Mother's Day, you really express that, she will be the most happy and the impact will be tremendous. So do it today. Huh? You still have enough time, huh, before midnight. Then she will be very happy to work with you, to work for you without any more complaint, because you appreciate what she has done or what she does. But if you don't do that, her thought will be negative. And this negative thought can arise because of karma. Like for example, in the past as a kid, you never have this gratitude towards your parents. So this life, when you come, you become parent, and your kid also has the same condition. They also don't have gratitude towards you because this is what you have done in the past. So karma is like that. If you want people to be good to you, you must be good to people. If you want people to have good life, if you want your children and loved ones to be nice to you, then you must take care of karma. That's it. So if you have this appreciation, contentment, gratitude, which are virtuous quality in your mind state, means you have the Dhamma. That's why I say all teachings, Dhamma, end up in virtue. When you have virtue, you have Dhamma. Because The real virtue comes from true wisdom, genuine wisdom. Without genuine wisdom born of Dhamma, there is no real virtue. So when you can express your gratitude, when you can express your thanks, your sincerity, your generosity, your respect, your whatever kindness and goodness, all this will make your life better. It will improve your life. Where these are virtues that can actually shine forth in life. So when you do this more and more to others, in future when you come, you reap what you sow. You will find that a lot of people will do back the same thing to you. This is what the law of karma is all about. So with this understanding, hopefully, we as Dhamma practitioner will not have this wrong thought or selfish thought anymore. Whatever we do, we must reflect on the law of karma. If it's our duty, do it well. Do not complain. I don't mean you have to do everything. No. You only do up to the limit you can do. Even your children's education is up to the limit where you can afford. You don't go and stretch beyond. No point. That's why nowadays there are this society that the government also come out with a special type of study loan where the student himself must undertake to repay because that loan is tied to them. So that is, I think, more useful, more appropriate. Otherwise, the parents have to go and borrow money and pay for their expensive education. Then after that, don't know whether the children will have any gratitude towards them or not. Nobody knows because of karma. So all this, we need to reflect. And with the understanding, we will know what to do. We will just do our duty, no matter what it is. As long as you do your duty, in future, you will have the good karmic friction. You will reap what you sow. So always remember this right duty is right Dhamma. This is the guiding hallmark of the Buddha's teaching. Okay, I think with that, we will stop for meditation first. And we will continue afterwards. Mark here, page 51. Okay. Wait, I just check. Oh, still quite a lot. Okay. Afterwards, we continue. I think today, we have covered a very good section of what we want to cover. Topic on right duty with regards to law of karma. And this is the main Buddha Dharma or teachings of the Buddha that very few people understand. And because of condition at that time, I find that this is useful. That's why I asked them to do the transcript and luckily somebody did. Then I edited it and it has become a book for you all to read. And with that, you can understand this teaching easily. Otherwise, listening alone, not so easy. Unless you have your very good past to support you. Okay, now we were off the line and break for 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. We will have 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we can continue on our next session. Okay. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to cultivate the daily mindfulness. mindfulness in the midst of life, stabilizing it until it becomes heedful. So this is the final cultivation. Okay, we will continue from where we stop. We will go to the page 51 maybe. We will continue for a moment, and we will stop. We are almost at the end of the answering that question. There is one last point that I want to emphasize on before I stop. I always said this to all the mothers. This one is very important. If it's your duty, or maybe you call it responsibility, or whatever word you may use, as long as you are the mother, there are certain things you have to do. Whether you like to do or you don't like to do, you still need to do them. If you do with understanding, joy, and happiness, then what you do will become beautiful, and karmically it will come back to you. When you cook with joy, happiness, and understanding, with a lot of sacrifice, your cooking will also become better. Otherwise, with all the anger, the hatred, the emotion, and the unhappiness, do you think you can cook well? When your kids and husband come back and taste your food, they will also complain. Then they will ask, what happened today? Why is the food so salty? Also, you don't seem to know. Then because you are already unhappy inside, then the thought, which is a wrong thought, out of anger, will prompt you to say, not only there is no words of appreciation from you, from somehow you dare to complain to me in that way, do you know what will happen? You will yell back or shout back, the hell with you, you cook yourself. Then she will pack up and walk out, go back to her mother's home or parents' place. Then you will know she has started to boycott you all. What happened when she goes on strike? Big problem, isn't it? I have seen a colleague telling me that when the wife went on strike for 3 days because she was not at home. It seems everything was in a mess, Klankabot, haywire, he said to me. Said, Tio, don't play a fool with your wife. Is it? 3 days, my wife went back to her hometown, Balik Kampung. Aku mati. He was a Malay. Is it? He got 3 children. Only then he realized that it's not easy to be a housewife. The last time he took things for granted, he said to her wife, every month I give you more than enough money to take care of our 3 children. Like that also, you want to complain. One day, the wife just packed up and left for her hometown, leaving him alone to attend to the 3 small kids. Then only he started to understand how difficult it is to manage the household and the kids properly when the wife is not around. So please, help out and say a few words of appreciation to help out the situation. Do give her your support and expression of love, care, and appreciation to make her happier, to help her out. That is how through cultivating the Dhamma, you can be more sensitive and you can feel for others and you will understand better. That's how you can sacrifice. You can do all those proper things, the right duties, then your wife will become more happy. then in future, when you come, you will have no more problem and no more suffering. When you understand the law that governs life and existence this way, and you know how to live your life in accordance with the law, meaning you have wisdom, then you will know how to live. And you don't have to worry about life anymore. You just live. Then life becomes meaningful, beautiful, because you are no longer like ordinary deluded living beings who always complain, worry every now and then about life, always getting themselves entangled in anger, in unhappiness. We are getting emotional and fearful most of the time. Is that life? Is that what you want? You should ask yourself, I don't know, for me that is stupidity. Pardon me for using this harsh word. Really stupid indeed. This is stupidity, isn't it? Because your own life, yet you do not know how to choose to be happy. Instead, you choose to be so negative and so miserable because of what? Because you don't understand this teaching. You don't know that there is a way to develop that understanding to free your mind. With that, we end. Sorry, I've taken extra 5 minutes of your time. Okay. If you have any question the next time, you better write it down so that I can spend more time on those questions. I hope I've answered that sister's question. So please have understanding to develop the joy of doing your duty in accordance with nature's law well. You are not being forced to do all these things just because you think you are the mother or the wife, and they put you responsible for all this. No. There is this nature's law that governs all our actions, speech, and thought process. If you have the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right view or right understanding, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, etc., then no problem. That's how you can overcome all of this so-called life problem or situation. Don't try to save his money. Hire a maid if you need to. And forget about trying to save that type of money. Whatever he says, you tell him, I want a maid, otherwise I go back. But don't be too demanding. Sometimes financially, if your husband is not capable, then go for part-time maid. But nowadays, it's quite normal for wife to be financially much better than their husband. And if that is the case, then just hire a maid. Yeah, you can ask Joyce about the experience. Despite being an experienced mother, she still hopes that the maid will come back. Yes. Then when she saw the maid, there was so much joy. It was like the husband saw the wife coming back. Wow, it's a big relief. Even my wife also said the same. The last time when our maid left, it was not easy for her to cope because of her age now. Then I just tell her, in that case, you go and hire a maid, Filipino, also Nelma, just pay a bit more. Then immediately after the maid came, you can see she is so different. Now she can go for facial and have more time to herself. That is what life is all about. Can you understand? Resolve your problem amicably, then move on. That's it. Don't go and complain and become miserable over nothing. Miserable over the so-called problem in inverted comma. Learn to live life, not to complain and grumble about life and become miserable over life. Most people worry about life, complain a lot. They keep on complaining about life and become miserable over life. But they never really live. To live life is very simple. Just visit the moment in silent inner awareness to experience all of the inner beauty, pristine inner beauty and wonders of life from moment to moment, instead of creating the wrong thought to worry about life. Okay, I would like to take up. Sorry, I don't want to take up so much of your time. Next time, please write down your question or email or WhatsApp, Brother Suyan. Then we can pass those questions over to me. What I normally do is, if the question is not that long, you don't have to let me know first. That day itself, I will answer out the question. The way I answer is very different. There and then the condition will arise, and I will know how to answer it accordingly. But this particular one is a bit different. This one is more mundane, with all the complaints and all the concern. So if you don't send it to me, I may not be able to answer you there and then, because I may need to refer to the Sigalavada Sutta, which I don't really teach. For me, these are more mundane Dhamma, not the real Dhamma. And my emphasis is not so much on that in this line. This line, my nature's emphasis is more on the penetrative wisdom Dhamma, to develop the true wisdom to free the mind, to become awakened. If you have a Dhamma question, then no need to let me know first. There and then I can pick it up. And the way I answer it will be very different. But if it's a mundane one, please forward it to me first. So that at least I can look up a bit. Otherwise, I may forget how to pronounce the word. I always forgot that word because too long and seldom used. I know it's see something. Sila something. Ah yes, Sigalavada. Somebody help me. Yeah? Thank you. Anyway, that's what the sutta is all about. You want to know more, read it up. Then you will know how to do your duty accordingly. Under the sutta, the Buddha lay out very clearly what your duties are, what you must do, so that your life will be good. Why you cannot mistreat your employee, and why you cannot mistreat your spouse and your children. And vice versa, the child or the children also have their duty towards their parent. And do you know that according to the Buddha, one of the duties as parents is to help arrange for their child's suitable marriage? Yeah, it's written in the sutta. You can go and read about it. I remember this one. I remember this is one of the duties of parents, yeah, so that they can properly and suitably marry. But you don't worry and get panicked. Some children don't want to get married, so don't go and say, the Buddha say, I have a duty to do that for you. Then you create unnecessary conflict and misunderstanding because you don't understand the Buddha's meaning. The Buddha also respected the individual and he said, your life, you decide. And he will never force you to do things that you don't like to do. But he understands it is your life, so you decide. Also, the Buddha understands that you are what you are because of your karma. And ultimately, there is no reality because he knows you, he knows me. So he will never interfere. But he can give you the advice as to what you have to do. So your duty is just to advance and not to force them to do what they do not like to do. And they are all in the sutta. Okay? So we end. So this is the closing puja. Okay? We finish. Then we end. You can read about the closing puja. This is a standard chanting that we use. Okay, we have already rejoiced with all the wholesomeness that we all have done over the last 2 hours plus of meditation and Dhamma sharing activity. And all this wholesomeness, like hearing the Dhamma, straightening your views, rejoicing, followed by transferring and sharing of merits, paying respect to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, radiating metta, loving kindness, and the renewal and keeping of our precept and meditation, they are all very wholesome, very meritorious, and we together rejoice with all this wholesomeness. We will then invoke power of merits, blessing, and wholesomeness to help our sister's mother. We are reciting as follows. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that we had all cultivated, may arise the causes and condition for Angie Chia's mom, Madam Tan Le Ho, to have a better river in whatever rhyme of existence that she may take. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with her, and may the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha always bless her so that she may have a good life, a happy life in the hereafter. And may she too have the causes and condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma, so that she can always have the ability to train her mind, to develop the understanding, to realize the beautiful Dhamma that can help her in her future life. Okay, with this, we will rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. And you can all now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end. Then we have appendix, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, four noble truth, and its three turning. So this one you read through yourself. Okay, we finish. So now we have 48 minutes of Q&A. Meditation reporting followed by Q&A.
Amitofo, Brother Teo, and Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas, and Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. I just want to say something about today's
sharing.
I really like the quote that Brother Teo shared. Is about right duty is right dharma.
That one is very important. Yes.
It's so beautiful. And when I wasn't into the Dhamma, I don't always get it right, you know. Sometimes you do the right thing, sometimes you do the wrong thing.
Yeah, you also used to complain also.
Very kalang kapo that word. So after listening to this beautiful phrase, it's so meaningful,
there's
right?
There's so much joy. Understanding. That's why right duty is right Dhamma. And this one has joy because you know this law of karma is so beautiful. Whatever you sacrifice or do, come back to you. So beautiful.
And
this is the way out of suffering.
Correct. Sadhu, right? This is really beautiful. The phrase is so meaningful and so powerful in helping us to free our mind, really, you know.
Yeah.
It just free your mind when you read this, you hear this. Just
you
free
will
your mind,
do
you know?
Your duty with joy, because this is what you want to do, so that in future you will have all the good condition to have all this.
Correct.
To your loved one, you feel good.
And
you can have that sacrifice, that love, care, that understanding. And you can go all out to give whatever that is within your means.
Yes, correct. So you can, it is not just the do for your family, it could be strangers as well, because
that is the right condition to help. You can also help. That it will come back to you. You will never know what will happen. That being can one day become wealthy, famous, or successful, or have the Dhamma. Then in future, there will be causes and conditions for you to reap whatever wholesomeness that you have done. It's just my parent this time. The condition that arises for them to become my parent is my pure wish, my choice. I make that in the distant past when they encounter me without knowing who I am. And they just do their sincere duty towards a stranger that they don't know. And because of that, they like strike lottery. Yeah, they don't know what my nature is. And my nature know, and my nature rejoice, then send the pure wish. That's why this life, there is condition and everything fall into place. Therefore, me, my nature know, the best way to benefit them, and it will never go wrong, is to become their child. Because they have right duty, they have good karma. So once I become one of their children, they will have the causes and condition from then onward to have the Dhamma, to be free, and everything will go their way. Because this parami, I will invoke the power of those merits to help them for causes and conditions to arise for them, life after life, to have the good life and to have the understanding of this teaching. Then they were free and they will continue to have good life. So this is what Dhamma is all about. The nature's law that governs life and existence, law of karma. So a lot of things we do, whatever goodness, kindness, sacrifice, we may call it help people or what, it's actually you are doing towards your karmic nature. You are generating virtue, merits, wholesomeness, and this will be reflected back to its own fruition when the time comes. So all this understanding, very few Buddhists or Dhamma practitioners have the understanding. They talk about karma, but they don't know the wide scope and effect behind. They cannot connect all the teaching. They can only quote here, quote there, but they don't know how to apply in real life. And they don't know how to share, to let living beings understand, so that they will not cling on to their own deluded, wrong view, wrong thoughts, born of their own selfishness, delusion, and ignorance. So all these are skillful way of actually applying the teaching so that it becomes relevant to life, so that people can understand. Then people can change the way they live their life. Then society will transform. When the individual transforms, society will transform. Then when society transforms, the totality of consciousness will transform and they will evolve for the better of all. So this is how we can play our role as a Dhamma practitioner, as a cultivator. We can actually develop a lot of wholesomeness. Very good, Puching. Sadhu to you for your good understanding.
Sadhu, Bharatiyo. Yeah, this is very meaningful and has very deep meaning, and it helps me. It really helps me, not just in the circle of my family and relatives, like outside of it, you know. The meaning is really deep, and you really have joy doing it out of understanding, not out of being forced or responsible. So this phrase is very meaningful to me.
It frees my mind.
Thank you very much, Sadhu. Actually, today is Mother's Day, right? So I would like to ask.
Mrs. Teo, mother, actually.
I like Mrs. Teo to share.
Amitabha putting those dominating me. Here, I would like to wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day. Mothers are very great.
It's
very great.
世界只有妈妈好.
That is the season.
Sacrifice.
很慈悲, 然后能为家人和一就好像拥有菩萨心这样的为众生为一切而牺牲, 只要他们好就好.
这是我的感受。 Sadhu, very good.
也是让我们修行, 做一切事情都以 慈悲爱心，然后平常心去做，
嗯，
不是为自己，是为大家，
嗯，
然后做了没事了，因为这是我就好像我们自己的使命，这一世来这里来这个娑婆世界，每个人都有自己的任务，
嗯，
所以我们就做就对了，
嗯，
然后就观自己的贪嗔痴，
嗯，杀掉
啊那些情绪，
嗯，
上来的时候你要知道，这个都是我们的业障，
嗯，杀掉，
我们知道不要制作它，我们这些业障都是你的种子已经种下了，现在不要给它发芽生长。
嗯，是的。
哦，只要我们这样子做，还要有这个增长这个慈悲心、爱心的种子，就会越来越好，你就不会，就不会执着了，
嗯，
你就会更，你的胸怀就会更宽阔，
嗯，
更能够包容一切。
是的，是的，是的。
哦，我希望大家都能够做到啊。
呀，是的，是的，是的。
我觉得只要你做就对了，然后一切哈，就好像不顺利，其实事情发生。其实不顺利，你接受也是一样顺利，全部都是好像我也不懂得怎么样讲，他好像是有人家扶持着你呀，做好你就对了，也不要想那么多，不要去胡思乱想啊，颠倒梦想。
Yeah.
反正我们这个五蕴都是皆空的，
嗯，
只要你看到这个五蕴皆空啊。什么都可以放得下了，
yeah, 能够 sacrifice everything。
真的，你只要你放，你要不是很精进的精进的维利亚去做你的平日的萨迪，你可以看就可以看到你这个五蕴是怎么样发生的，是怎么样起来的。
是的。
一起来你看到哈，哎。为什么会这样的？然后你看到的时候，嗯，它只是一个好像，这个人啊，我们这个人的方身罢了，这个是方身魔力给我们用罢了。也发现这个都不是我啊。
是的。
啊，你可以看得到，你这个不是我，这个是方身，只是让你了解这个。人的 property 和 function，
嗯，
what is human being，
嗯，
你知道 what is human being， 那你知道是我是谁，我是什么，你就不会再执着了，
嗯，是的，
你就了解，然后这里你就才开始罢了，哦，然后你真的要向内观观一直观，因为我们很多业障嘛，不能够一下子就放下的，你看到了你要看得开，就是说你知道，因为至少你真正看到这个五蕴皆空，这些全部都是颠倒来的，所我们所想的所做的是凡夫颠倒的，不对的，不是 natural， 不是 nature 来的，不是自然的，所以我们现在回归自然，回归我们的 source，
嗯，
我们的 source 就是 nature， 大 nature 来的，什么都没有，都不是的，你就叫 flow and accord，
嗯，
你现在在做什么，你叫 flow and accord， 那你这个就是每一分钟每一秒钟呢，就是 learning curve 来了，让你知道去处理有问题呢，是因为我们有业障看不透，
嗯，
我们看不透，然后你就以我们的智慧来智慧，对人对事对物的智慧，真正的实事的智慧的 truth 啊，
嗯，
然后处理这些事情，
His father.
一切如果是不顺利也不好也不要紧，这是我们的业障，我们接受。
嗯。
也不要起烦恼心。
嗯。
知道啊，烦恼就是业障。总而言之，你看什么都是各每一样都有自己他的自信啦。哦，我们要观我们自己的，然后我们回归回去我们的自信，然后一切你 follow 不来的做就对了。他所讲的 advice 你做你就可以看得到了，要真正的下功夫啊，要下功夫哦。
Yeah,
真的 yeah, 然后他这车 这个才是开始嗨，因为你每一分every moment 你都要有 Uniso Manasikara 才可以的，不然呢我们还是会被抓，我时常都被抓。不过至少我知道你知道你知道哦，这个是业障 OK 知道了就好，但是不要被一直被他一直拉着走，拉着鼻子走就不对了啊。每个人都还是在都有业障的，在那边怎么样提升我们的福和慧。我们来这一次这每一次来都是增进我们的福和慧罢了。
嗯，是的。
哦，所以心宽要阔一点，包容一下一点，吃亏一点不要紧哦。要有大慈悲心，祝福别人，祝福大家。
是的，
一切安好，吉祥安康。
是的。
Stay safe, stay home.
乖乖。Very good. So we all should rejoice.
沙都。
哇，不错。
Thank you, Mrs. Teo. Wow, she did a lot of sharing today.
Today, Mother's Day. Give her the inspiration to share. And for the first time, I saw her very natural and share very deep, beautiful Dhamma. If you all can understand what she said today, you will become enlightened. Really. She summarized a lot of the cultivation aspect in daily life. And that is what you should develop. Like she always say, we come here every life to cultivate, to perfect ourselves, to improve our wisdom, understanding, leading to virtue. Then have a good mind. Then must have this, what they call, generous mind, to actually take in everything. Do not complain. Whatever happened, initially may not appear like smooth flowing. It's like what Master Shenhua used to say. In life, there's always like situation and problem. So everything, when they start, if you perceive it in negativity, it's like it's not so appropriate or proper or good. Xianhua used the word 不好的一个起头. But if you do not perceive it with negativity, he said, you perceive it and apply Noble Eightfold Path, then whatever that situation is will transform and turn for the better. So Dhamma is such. Dhamma is to develop the wisdom, the understanding to overcome our greed, hatred, and delusion, to root out karmic negativity, to root out all the negativity of mind state, so that you can sacrifice, you can actually do a lot of things for the world, so that you can have the understanding to really do your duty properly and do your duty well. You not only, like Po Cheng say, sacrifice for your family, your loved one, even to people whom you don't know. Sometimes when there is condition to do wholesomeness, you should manifest and play your role. Then we not only have the relationship, human being, we have the environment too. We must have right duty towards the environment, the world, the planet we live in, fellow living beings, towards everything that we come into contact with and have relationship with. Even nowadays, my wife used to say, the pets are very blessed, the dogs, the cat, and all those things. Because the era has changed, civilization has changed. Now, all the pets that people keep, the dog, wow, really, they are really very blessed. And my son also has one dog, the beagle. So that day I was told by Sister Ingby also, is it, her children also have one beagle. It's the same species. So nowadays, there are a lot of people who are willing to keep pets and sacrifice the time and whatever to care for them, provide for them, and really look after them. It's not easy. A lot of time is needed to actually do those duty and things. So whatever you do will come back to you. Maybe these are the dogs that in the past, like them, have taken care of other animals and provide them with all the good life. That's why this life, they become the dog. Even born as a dog, they will have the good condition and they'll have a good owner who will buy them from the pet shop and raise them and give them all the good life. So you want to look at karma, you look at life. You look at existence, and like my wife say, everything that happened in life is a learning curve. It's a cultivation. You have the Dhamma. You follow everything that we have shared with you. Do your right duty. Don't always complain. That's why I say live life. Don't worry about life. Don't go and complain about life. A person who complains doesn't understand because there is delusion, there is selfishness. The thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that, it cannot be otherwise. You complain means you want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why all these are wrong thoughts. You don't have the right understanding. Why must you complain? You have to perceive it with wholesomeness, with understanding. Then apply Noble Eightfold Path, the Dhamma, to resolve it amicably. Do your duty. Develop the joy, the happiness. And this is what the teaching is all about. So hopefully, with my wife sharing, it will help many people too. And also with Pochen sharing, it will help Kayamita to look at life differently. Life is not just study the Buddha Dharma, then take in as knowledge and apply that knowledge. That is not the real Buddha Dharma. The real Buddha Dharma is a living Dharma where you can really apply it to live life with understanding, to transform life, to give meaning to life, to give people joy, happiness. Whatever you do that can bring about wholesomeness, happiness and joy, even making people smile, making people feel the joy and the happiness by saying some kind words, thank you so much for helping, for giving, for all the things that you have done. So these are kind, Noble Eightfold Path, right speech, right action and right thought process that can actually make the world a better place, that can give joy and happiness to people. So when you understand the real teaching, you can apply it so beautifully, and it can cover such a big scope. So for people who don't have the real understanding of the real teaching, they can never understand all this. They can never go to that extent to sacrifice for the world. They can never have that universal love within their heart, that contentment, that generosity, that beautiful kindness, goodness, virtue. They can never manifest them. It can only be manifested when there is Dhamma. Okay? So hopefully this can bring for better condition for others to also share today. So who is next? You can just come in. Yeah. Oh, Puching, you want to say something? Puching, you still around? Yeah, you want to say something?
Oh, yeah, still around, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Teo, for very interesting sharing about life application, you know. Mm. Yeah. So it's, I mean, we can learn so much, like Brother Teo say, it's quite a lot that Mrs. Teo shared, you know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we do, we must be natural as well, you know, she said, right? Yeah. Yes. A thought and flow, a learning curve. Yeah, so true, this learning curve. I mean, we don't always get it right all the time in the first place. You know, sometimes you don't do it, how you say, in the way that you want it to do it. You know, sometimes you have a plan, then you want to follow the plan. It doesn't work. It's okay. We accept it. Then you say, this is a learning curve, you know. Next time when there's better condition, we do it better, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We accept everything that comes along, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of condition.
Part of the karmic obstruction or karmic whatever from the past. That's why you have to understand that these are the result of the past. So you have to accept them and move on, accord and flow.
Correct.
Then he said, return to nature.
Yes.
Return to nature.
Correct.
Our
beautiful sharing.
Yes. That first thing. That true nature is very beautiful. The source. From there, everything arises. Then there is no more delusion. Because when you have the understanding of that true mind, that true nature, it has no duality. It's the unconditioned. That one is so beautiful. Tranquility, stillness, peacefulness. Why can't living beings realize that nature? Then they will not complain. They will not create all those suffering. Then they can see whatever that manifests is the five aggregate of form and mind. It's not what you think you are. And my wife used a very good analogy too. Is that this one has its own property and it performs its function. It's actually a condition arising phenomenon. Yin Yan Fa. Is the five aggregate of form and mind is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of norm, no reality. Of course, I call it a vehicle and a tool for you to come to use. And it's related to us because karmically it's related. It's born of our karma. Condition is supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of. So this one is subject to karma. That's why you have to do your duty. So when you understand all this, then you will not attach. You will not cling. Then you can sacrifice. We have no reality. You will not fear death. You will not fear whatever that happened in existence. Because these are all the phenomenal world of consciousness. They come and they go. The aggregates come and go. The five aggregates are your thought process. They arise and they pass away. How come they have such power over living beings? It's because of their delusion. So develop wisdom, understanding, and learn to live life. Then you will have all the understanding. Then you become beautiful. Sadhu. You continue, huh? Yeah.
So we are lucky today that Mrs. Teo shared so much that we can listen again from the audio recording, you know.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I like to talk a little bit about what she said because it's so beautiful. She also mentioned that we have to observe our greed, hatred, and delusion, Actually, this is also very important because sometimes it comes and then we are not aware, we are caught by surprise, when it happened, So if you observe it, you can make a stop to it, these are all wrong thoughts.
It will not draw you, deceive you, and delude you.
Correct. So this is also very important for our cultivation application,
Because you condition wrong thought. And wrong thought will condition all your misery, your suffering.
Yes, yes. Correct. So she also mentioned that we have to plant the seed of compassion and love, you know. Yeah. I mean, if you want to have good things to happen in your life, you must plant the good seed. If you don't plant the good seed, you cannot reap what you sow, you know.
Yes,
so this is also very important, you know. Sometimes we forget, you know. We are so caught up with our life. Sometimes either we are so happy with our life, things go so smoothly, we forgot to plant the seed of we forgot to plant the good seed. Okay, or if the life is so miserable, we don't have time, or we are so suffering, we do not able to plant any good seed as well. So either way,
because mind become very negative.
Yes.
Cannot turn. So it's clouded by all the wrong thoughts, delusion.
Yes. I mean, when we are suffering, it's definitely difficult because your mind is clouded. But when we are too happy, brother, when we are too happy also, we forgot, you know. We forgot
Because when you have too much good life, you don't think about Dhamma. You don't think about religion. You think life is beautiful. But you will never understand the reality of life and existence until you are confronted with birth, old age, sickness and death and the other realities. So when people have the good karmic condition to enjoy life, to have the good life, they never really look at life. We call it complacency. We call it when you are in the midst of joy and happiness, you forgot about doing that duty to develop wisdom and understanding to really completely complement your whatever worldly life. Because the worldly life without the spiritual understanding is still one-sided, lacking. Well, ultimately, no matter how wealthy, how rich, how famous you may be, when you confront old age, sickness and death, you will still suffer. All the money cannot buy you health. And you will still have to go through that type of existential reality, which most people cannot confront. That's why without spiritual understanding to complement your worldly life, you cannot have the perfect good life. So to have the perfect good life, you need the spiritual understanding. So do not neglect your life. Determine through your understanding, means your bodhisattva, vow, and all the aspiration, that life after life, whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this understanding to see the urgency of developing this Buddha Dharma understanding, so that you can understand life and liberate your mind from all existential issues and problems. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why my nature has this vow, and life after life it comes. That's why I teach you, or I share with you all this secret that I have developed, the yellow card. Go and make that understanding. Then also how to break karmic obstruction, how to actually develop the right view, right understanding, then plant the seed of compassion and bodhi, to actually nurture your nature to actually manifest life after life, so that you will have the causes and condition to move forward, to perfect yourself, to go the bodhisattva way. Like my wife say, the great compassion will make you a true bodhisattva. When you can be really compassionate and sacrifice, you are a real bodhisattva. Because only bodhisattva can have that type of extensive vow, the four basic vow, to take across all living beings. Then to endure and severe all suffering, to do this work and to perfect themselves, all wisdom, all virtue, until the 10 perfection can be fulfilled. So these are very great beings. So great beings need great virtue, born of wisdom, to accomplish whatever they need to do. So cultivation is about developing the understanding and move. And this is most important. So very good, huh? We say sadhu. So you created a lot of good condition today.
Sadhu, Brother Teo. Yeah. Brother Teo, talking about the Bodhisattva vow, right? In the past week, I also make a special vow for myself, you know.
Wow, sadhu. Want to share? Sadhu.
Yes. I make a special vow for myself, additional to the vows that Brother Teo gave, the miscellaneous. Miscellaneous. For me, additional. The reason I make this vow is because from what I'm experienced so far, because I come to the Buddha Dharma kind of late. So I make this vow to come early in life diligently. So that I don't have to go through the Yuan Wang Lu, you know.
Correct.
I want to bypass all this Yuan Wang Lu. So that
you can have the understanding early.
Correct.
This is what my yellow card instruction is all about. When you follow every of that, life after life, whenever you come, you will have this understanding and it will become earlier and earlier and earlier.
When my
nature come, I realized I am different when I was young. Even when I was very young, before I had the Dhamma, I know I'm different. Then my inquiry start when I start to understand Form 4, Form 5, science, geography. Immediately my mind progress. I don't need to have life problem or suffering or misery to inquire, to go into all this. And my nature is so different. It prepare me for everything. The understanding, the DNA, the karmic inheritance, the spiritual nature's inheritance, everything is there. And it just unfolds. That's why when you have this understanding, you make all this vow, it will help. So your additional vow, miscellaneous vow, will help because you need this life. Because this life, you realize you approach the Dhamma late. Because in the past, you didn't follow this yellow card to break your karmic obstruction and all those things. So like my wife say, a lot of this is ye zhang. You haven't finished your duty. You haven't repaid all your whatever karmic debt. That's why you have to wait for your timing. You cannot hurry. But if you know how to make those vow, like what I teach you, the right view and the right understanding, to break karmic obstruction, to have all the merits, the virtue, the perfection, to help you in time of tribulation and all, like what Ying Bi realized. So she really go all out to do it again and let that thing manifest. So what you brought out is also very good.
So for me, I really want to start early, you know, in life, you know, not wait until so late. You know, you have to scramble, you know. I like to start early for those Kayamita that start very early. It's very fortunate, you know. So I like to start early, you know, prepare myself and so that I don't walk the wrong way, wrong path, do the wrong thing. But especially doing all the wrong thing, you know, is instead of developing good seed, become bad seed, you know, that kind of thing. But if you start early, you have all the good foundation.
Yes,
so you have good foundation and you continue to perfect instead of some days good, some days bad, then you back and forth,
because these are all coming obstruction that hinders along the way. So you need to have the understanding to break all those coming obstruction. That's why you must make aspiration. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, make that aspiration to break the coming obstruction. to break all the whatever coming thing. So if you look at that yellow card, everything is there actually. So additional vow to break all coming obstruction to bring about the way, I put it there. So I read again so that you understand. If by action, speech and thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, via ignorance, delusion and heedlessness, that this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong to the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. The first most severe coming obstruction is offending the Triple Gem. That's why this additional vow to break coming obstruction you must have. Then the second one is, whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any coming negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this coming obstruction can be amicably dissolved and watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then the third one is also very important. This nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward vow never to repeat any of this coming negativity born of greed, hatred and delusion, like my wife mentioned, tanzanzu. So this third one is very important. By following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify my mind, we are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then the last one is very important. By the power of whatever wholesomeness to invoke power merits that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all karmic obstruction and obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk this path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vows. That's why all this has been prepared. And if you want to add in, have the understanding of the right duty or what, you can add in. Because all those, for me, when I have the wisdom, I will understand them already. So what I need is to break all this karmic obstruction. That's why this is added in as additional vow. Then additional miscellaneous vow are all the supporting condition to bring about the fulfillment of all this vow fastest. That's why I put that this nature of my vow to be successful in fulfilling all my above vow soon as possible. Then to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddha Dhamma, all Buddha and great beings, Bodhisattva, to request their nature's blessing, protection and guidance. These are the things my nature did. That's why I share with you all. To strengthen my spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya until they become powers, balas, life after life, so that all the above vow can be successfully fulfilled with ease. Then to cultivate extensively, this is what Engbi realized. To cultivate extensively all virtue, blessing, and merits to help support my cultivation so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mind when needed in time of trials, difficulty, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Without this additional miscellaneous vow, it's not easy to walk this way, I tell you. You need all of your perfection, your virtue, your blessing, your merits, to support your cultivation, to help you overcome whatever difficulties that you may encounter. So this is the beauty of what I have shared with you all. That's why if you were to look at this Bodhisattva way cultivation, the way I format it, Yeah, my nature has this special understanding. That's why Maitreya came to me to ask me to share this true understanding of the cultivation. 请你把正法传下去。Two aspects. One is the normal Dhamma, because Maitreya's nature knew my nature can express the teaching in a very clear and very comprehensive manner. Second one is the Bodhisattva, the way. Because a lot of Bodhisattva, I realize, take too long because they fail to have all this understanding to prepare them. That's why my nature put them into this format. And you should thank Sister Parmasuri, because she take the trouble to type it out and create this sheet, the yellow card. One sheet cover everything. Very convenient. You can take them along when you travel. If you want additional copy of the card, you can get it from me. We still have. So make sure you understand this. Then determine, and everything will go your way. Okay? What's it? Sadhu, huh?
Sadhu, Bratio, I have the Bodhisattva vows from the Cameron Hiron retreat. I use that.
Yellow card you have or not? The yellow card. This yellow card.
I don't have this yellow card because I don't have this yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's okay.
I will ask Sui to send you the soft copy.
The soft copy I have. I got it from the website already.
Oh, Sui say the Bodhisattva vow. I give you the A4 paper at the camera. The four pages. Parmasui concise into one card. Yeah, it's the same.
I use the Cameron Highland retreat.
But the card is easy to carry around. Yeah, your A4 paper, unless you laminate it, it can get it will deteriorate very fast.
Yes, I put in a plastic cover. I put in a plastic cover. Yeah, I noticed that if I hold it, with the wet hand, you get the spoil easily. So
it will deteriorate very fast.
Yes, so, correct. So I put in a plastic cover, it's quite protected in the sense.
Retreat, if we have it again, I will bring and you all can have it.
I look forward to the retreat, the Cameron Highland retreat. Yes. So this Bodhisattva vows is very important to me.
Yeah,
for me,
very important, and it's very comprehensive.
Yes. So I do it on a regular basis, and then the fourth miscellaneous vows that Brother Teo say about cultivate extensively all the virtues, blessing and merits, right? Actually, Brother Teo, before I even go into this Bodhisattva vows diligently on a regular basis, prior to this in year 2018-2019, it happened that I was cultivating extensively on this virtues and blessed merits, I was doing it, on a very regular basis, So then comes Bodhisattva vow, right, that I do regularly. So I realized that, wow, this is really very good supporting condition for me, I can feel that the cultivation is progressing, because of all
this. You can feel that it's taking off because you know everything that I mentioned and say.
Yes, correct. So following all the miscellaneous, I can see that I'm moving in the right direction, as I make the Bodhisattva vow. I can feel it, Brother Teo, everything is correct.
Those who do that vow will feel it one.
Correct.
It's going to transform you and make your life different. And you can see, like there is something protecting you, guiding you, and taking you along.
Correct.
Like fall into place for you.
Yes, correct.
You will never go wrong.
Because if I do it alone, without any help, I think cannot.
If you don't believe me, I can just share this with you, then you will know. You just go and find out Even in our present Buddhist community or society or whatever, even the Mahayana tradition, where the Bodhisattva vow is very extensively cultivated and very common, you go and find out how many of them really know how to do it. They only know the four basic vow, and not many can go beyond that to develop the understanding. And this four-page card that I make into one card, four-page vow that I gave to you all earlier on and make into one yellow card, this type of very comprehensive and concise summary of the cultivation, you can never find. Because this one is the result of that nature's understanding over a long period of cultivation and perfection. And you need these type of great beings who have gone through this way to actually come out with all this understanding. Otherwise, it's not easy. Like you say, yan wang lu, very difficult. You can deviate so fast. You can get lost so fast. And this Buddha Dharma is not easy. Even the basic teaching, the Theravada tradition's teaching, is not easy for people to comprehend, to understand. Yeah. That's why it's not easy. Even to understand the two mind, the true mind and the mundane mind, already is difficult enough for people. And because of that, they always get themselves entangled because they use the wrong mind to cultivate. They use the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind. And that one is thought-based meditation. It can never take you to the true mind. And you can never have that true nature to develop the direct seeing, the understanding. That's why it's not easy. Even that one, people cannot break free. Then there is no point talking about Bodhisattva vow, because the basic Dhamma also they can't penetrate or realize. So cultivation need condition, need understanding, need the guidance of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, the great beings, the enlightened teachers. Otherwise, it's not easy. Sadhu, Fo Cheng. Today, very good sharing. Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.